Item which is miscellaneous, the meeting debrief, any?
Another blue sheet idea.
This may be of more interest to me than anyone else, but I wanted to put it before the group in case there are others who are interested. But I think about 2 weeks ago, we received one of the links, the news links, which referred to the fact that NOAA had removed Willapa Origin Chinook from its list of subject to overfishing. And it raised some questions in my mind, because we had also been presented with a long-term data set which showed that Willapa Natural Origin Chinook had not exceeded escapement targets in most of the 40-year period that had been tracked. So in the past 40 years, it had only exceeded its escapement goals in 4 of those 40 years. And in the past 2 years, it's still been below escapement goals. So it raised in my mind, what is that subject to overfishing determination based on? Because it's clearly not the same as the escapement goals that we've set at the state level. And I did spend some time about, I think it was 2 years ago when we were developing the Willapa policy, I did reach out to friends in NOAA to try to get an explanation of that designation, subject to overfishing or overfished, and it was complicated. It was not simple to understand because it has to do with maximum sustainable yield spawners, whatever those are. So I put together a blue sheet that asks for more information for better understanding of the way that federal overfishing, overfished determinations are made and their relationship or not with our state conservation objectives in the context of Willapa. And this, you know, may be of interest to others because the way that federal fisheries management is done is different. They don't worry so much about escapement in the same way we do. They're worried about maximum sustainable harvest or yield or whatever. So here's the blue sheet language. I call it a medium importance, medium urgency, because this is, you know, these are larger, more strategic questions of state-federal interaction. I titled it Federal Rules on Overfishing Determination. Could be something else. Knowledge action, explanation of how federal and state fisheries management interface. Number one, meaning of NOAA's determination that a stock is subject to overfishing or overfished. Two, how federal goals, MSY, relate to, / coincide with, / differ from determination of federal ESA and state conservation objectives such as escapement goals. And three, whether NOAA has the authority to adjust harvest to allow increased escapement as habitat conditions are restored. Use Willapa Bay Natural Origin Chinook as examples of federal actions. And the output would be a briefing. So that's a motion, if anybody else is interested in this information.
Motion's been made. Is there a second?
I second it.
Strongly second the question.
I think it's a function of, we'll find out, but it's, yeah, it's the definition contained in the Magnuson Stevens Act.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm.
I guess if people want to change that definition, now might be a good time because MSA is up for, they're kicking it around in Congress what to do with it. So.
Okay. Right.
There was a list. NOAA comes out with these lists occasionally.
Yeah.
There was a list about 2 years ago of 4 stocks on the Columbia River. that we're overfished. Well, what does that mean?
Yeah.
You know. So I agree, and you know, identifying it as well at the pay just gives us a clear perspective on a fishery that we can compare others to.
Yeah.
So yeah,
good.
That's great.
Motion's been made, seconded, and I guess that was the further discussion.
No, it was the further discussion.
All those in favor of the motion, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Blue sheet motion is approved.
I'd just like to give some encouragement, I guess, to the commission. There's some things that have happened that I think are really going to be good for the future of wolf recovery. One was 2 weeks ago, we had there was a session in up in Republic, and the WDFW staff was participated. A lot of the conflict specialists from the region came, and it was a low-stress livestock handling clinic put on at a rancher's place, basically because that rancher had gone to Montana to learn some of those techniques and got excited about it and came back and said, let's have a clinic at his place. And so I think the way we set it up, there was a day in the inside, kind of learning, and there was, about 35 people there, and then some outdoor, you know, clinic-type stuff where you're actually working cattle and understanding some of these techniques of low-stress livestock handling that are just good for the bottom line of ranchers, but they're also good for keeping cattle more in a herd that enables a little bit more protection out in the land of predators. So that was a real successful event, but that was just the start of a push by the conservation districts up in Northeast Washington. So five of the conservation districts have come together and applied for a conservation innovative grant for about $670,000 to actually hire staff on to do some of this kind of work, hold clinics, become someone that, you know, can fit into the communities and help people with some of these ideas and concepts, you know, at a voluntary basis. As well as House Bill 2126, which passed unanimously by the House and Senate, which is similar in nature. And that those dollars, if they become appropriated, would come through the Conservation Commission and eventually come out through a board of made up of Conservation District board members from the four Northeast Washington districts and get out then into a private sector organization or nonprofit that would do some of the same types of things, you know, work on wolf situations, tools to be used to help avoid problems, and do it very locally. So that would be a rancher-led type of organization or nonprofit or something like that. And so all of this is just really positive, I think, in the work I do in my private world or my work world. And I think sometimes in WDFW, the folks that are working on this start to think, how can this carry on? You know, when we get more and more and more wolves on the landscape, who's going to help? How are we going to get a lot of this work done? And conservation districts, you know, I spent so much time in them with my first career. I have a lot of confidence because they really have the trust of people that farm and ranch in communities. They have skill sets. They've been growing over the years to really help people with resource problems. And it's not being pushed as just a way to live with wolves, but it's as a way to look at your bottom line in ranching and see if it can be changed a little bit by some of these techniques, and if it can, and they happen to be a good thing for, you know, avoiding problems with predators, so be it. So I think it's really encouraging. I've asked Jay if he would like to go to a session in Montana, and I think he so far said he would. So, you know, just that knowledge base is growing about some things that people can do, and very locally, you know, not so much from outside organizations or whatnot. So real positive stuff, I think, that is coming towards us. And hopefully this Conservation Innovative Grant, they'll be successful. They should hear any day now, and that would be a real key thing.
Good news.
Yeah, I'll just add, there was a nice story on NPR about the clinic. I heard it yesterday, actually.
Oh.
Where I'm coming from is I'd like to get a head count on who's maybe wanting to go on a tour tomorrow.
Yeah.
I'll bring my pickup so I will have room for four in my rig. And there again, we can tailor it. I don't know where you guys are at on getting back. it can be a kind of a half tour, and then you could come back, or if we're going to leave here at 7:30, I'm guessing at the very latest we can damn certainly be back by noon.
I have an 11:30 flight, so I'd need to be back at 10:30. If anybody else was, I'd like to go, but
right. That's why I've just thrown it out, so yeah. We can kind of get a head count on what people are thinking. And there again, a partial tour is plumb easy because the first stop is going to be at the top of Cloverland Grade. And I think what brought this about was, there again, Stan talked about it, is when we, what was that, 3 years ago, Phil was over? And we did a tour, and we kept talking about this, and it's fun to see country you spent your whole life in through someone else's eyes from time to time. And that's what Phil goes, he said, my God, he said, I just can't get over the vastness of all of this. And it really resonated with us. And that was kind of the hope of showing you people tomorrow, is just go up and, well, the ground starts over there as far as you can see, and it runs over here. So it isn't going to be, I don't think we'll have time to run up on Smooth and Iron, but that's why we were going to run up Cloverland, is you can look to the east and see where it starts and go around, and we can make a quick stop on some of it. I was probably going to take you by and show you the canola field really quickly, and then we can drop back down off, and then we can see the Smooth and Iron, the Lick Creek, the Peola area, and Sam Ledger, what he's going to go, and he's run cattle on probably every ridge over there. So, like I said, just so you have an anticipation or an expectation of what we're going to do, and time-wise, and this, that, and the other, and
Other people are going to drive.
Yeah, I can take four people in my Subaru, and I promise to drive the speed limit.
Well, you won't?
Yes.
If you're going to drive the speed limit, you won't keep up with me.
Could anybody that's driving drive back a little earlier?
Yeah. Well, Commissioner, we have a large expedition we rented, so we've got some room, and our flight leaves at noon. And so be back by 11:30.
Well, my flight leaves at 11:30.
So you need to go through security and stuff.
Right.
I mean, I don't know how long it takes to go wherever we're going.
We'll be first stop. If we leave here at 7:30, first stop will be by 8. And there again, actually, in all seriousness, by 10-ish, we can be through the bulk of it, and then you could just come back down Cloverland, which would be quicker, because I figured we'd probably drop down Hosotin Creek and come out that way, but that would be the full meal deal. So if somebody wanted to shortcut it a little bit.
I know who my friends are now. My friend. Thank you.
That's a big assumption that you have a friend.
Well... Hey, the check's clear every month. Okay, so that is all good.
Done.
I just have one.
So we'll meet here at 7:30 tomorrow.
Yeah, that was
in the lobby. Right? Yeah. I just wanted to know, Steve, is this a young Steve fishing with a Zebco reel? A little resemblance here.
I just wanted to acknowledge a couple of people. First, Commissioner Holtzmiller, thank you very much for hosting the meeting and setting it up. I thought today was excellent, and I really appreciated the people that came out this morning and spoke to the commission. I thought they were terrific, and we covered a lot of issues that I know you and I have talked about over the years, and so thanks for all the help on that. And to go along with that, thanks to Steve Pizangra and your crew, Steve, great job, and we've hit you twice this year, so anyway, thank you very much. Great job planning and showing off your region, so thanks to both of you two.
Well, and there again, it was bringing in the people from Idaho and the tribe. I know it wasn't Washington business, but I really wanted the opportunity for you people to be able to see what goes into this part of the world, and it's very convoluted. But thank you for giving us the time to get that across. So.
Well, I was just going to say that as recent as last night, around dinner time, the question came up again about, you know, when we travel to the commission, there's a lot of expense associated with it. And there was some trepidation about how today was going to turn out. Did we have enough people here to justify it? And I think what happened here today confirms our commitment to go to different regions of the state so that those people have access to the commission. I think today was a great example. We had, you know, elected officials. We had some terrific public input. We had presentations that really hit home, were very informative about this region that are important to all of us. And so I think today was a good example, again, of our commitment to travel to the commission. It's very worthwhile, in my opinion.
Yeah, I second that. When we do plan this next year's schedule, I think we should, you know, really look at how many away games we can do.
Away games.
All right, well, hearing nothing else, I will close the commission meeting, Fish and Wildlife Commission meeting for June 2nd, and we will reconvene at 7:30 in the lobby.